Okay, yeah. we're back. Yes, welcome back to The Love Hunter. And you know what, y'all? You know, let's dig into this post-Halloween. You know, we're in our post-Halloween-ness, Halloween hangover, if you want to call it that. Really great costumes, really great evening. You know, kicking it with the crew. That was fun. What else? Yeah, we've still got, you know, with Israel and Palestine, just a huge mess. You know, we're still seeing that. Well, also, you know, another celebrity death, Matthew Perry, which is hard because, you know, these deaths and bathtubs. Whitney Houston dies in the bathtub. Matthew Perry dies in the bathtub. It's just hard, y'all. You know, I don't know what it means. I don't know the symbolism. It's just hard, you know. So yeah, I mean, with you know, with these with these Halloween costumes, you know, of course, people can't, you know, they can't stand me. I was Michael Myers with a Jerry curl. I had a nice samurai blade with me because, you know, I wanted to keep it a little spicy. You know, I had my white and black Chuck Taylors. You know, I had a nice little suit on, you know, with the white vest and the black shirt, collar shirt. You know, I wanted to fancy it up. I wanted to spicy it up a little bit. You know, I wanted to make it fancy. So, yes, y'all. Yes, y'all. I just wanted to have a little fancy, you know, my... you know, daughter and wife, you know, we're all up in the Disney world as Maleficent and Mal from Descendants 3. So that was cute. Our you know, friends were the Golden Girls, which was the dad, the mom, and the daughters, both 13 and 3. They were all Golden Girls, which was hilarious. And you know, I got to see some really, really good costumes. You know, I love Marvel. I love DC. God, what have I been? I mean, I've been Luigi. I've been Nick Fury. You know, there aren't too many black superhero characters. So as time goes on, I'll find, you know, good and better stuff. You know, I mean, there's also like the things that are covered and armored. You know, like the Master Chief from Halo, you know, you got like that outfit, you know, Thanos, I could do, Iron Man, I could do easily because you can't see his face. You know, there's a lot of characters actually you can be, just in general, that, I mean, you don't need the culture. You don't need to see the culture to it, but I don't know. I always get locked into this mode where I'm like, what can I dress up as? And it has nothing to do with Halloween. I'm going to be honest. Y'all just gave me an excuse to dress up. So that's what we're really talking about. Y'all gave me an excuse to dress up and I'm doing it. So yeah, I don't know. I haven't done any like Comic Cons or anything yet, but I should. I should, and I will at some point. But yeah, I saw some really cute costumes out there, really great costumes. I don't know why, but I'm really easy to please when it comes to costumes and stuff. Like if it's funny, like somebody walking around like fries, right? If you're walking around as like fries or a burger or like broccoli or something like that, like that is the funniest thing in the world to me. I don't know why. But oh yeah, my sister did the Ahsoka Tano makeup exactly as it is. Like when I say exactly as it is, not only did we watch the shows, we watch Ahsoka and Loki and all this Disney stuff. We watch all these shows, but like she was actually able to replicate it. Come on, y'all. I don't know how. I need to ask her, like, how did you really do this? Because I remember being in school This is in my track days. I'm at the track house and we're partying, you know, for Halloween. Well, we probably shouldn't have been partying because we had 16-200s to do the next week. But yeah, before 16-200s, one of my buddies on the team invited his homie over. And he showed up in the full Darth Maul costume. Okay? And I'm like, what's good? Like, we're in college. Like, where are the Jedi? Said, like, why do you need to be fully loaded, fully decked out in all the Darth Maul-ness? Like, where do we really need the Sith that bad? The costume was phenomenal, y'all. The costume was phenomenal. All of the little facial, the little red lines and all that on the face, the little horns that come out like a crown. It was phenomenal, y'all. So hats off to him. He did a fabulous work, an amazing work. No, it's not blackface. It was Darth Maul face, to be accurate. And I was so impressed that I was scared. Like, I'm like, why are you so good at this? Like, we're in college. You know you're going to drink that off in like 5 minutes, right? Like, you're going to have a smear. Like, the second you take a drink of anything, it's just going to be smeared makeup. But yeah, some fabulous costumes, some amazing costumes. And I think the funniest thing was I'm in Denver, Colorado. This was years ago. This was maybe like 10 years ago. I was there for work. And we're supposed to be doing this, these seminars and hear from like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was like a pro basketball player on how to persevere and how to pursue goals in life and care for people, help people. That was, you know, the background was caring and helping for people that everyone was coming to this seminar for. And we had to walk through a Comic-Con just to get there. And so I had no idea what this was. Like, my nerd culture, nerd points were completely negative at this point because I just didn't know. I had known about Star Trek conventions, but I'm like, okay, boring. Like, Star Trek never really did it for me. I'm not saying it isn't a great franchise. I'm not saying that Jean-Luc Picard and Captain Kirk and all of them and Sisko, I'm not saying that they didn't do their thing and it wasn't good and fun. Of course it was. I'm not here to knock anybody's franchise. I just never got into it. Like, some people don't like mint chocolate chip ice cream. But I never got into it. And then fast forward, I'm an adult, okay? That missed out on all this sci-fi amazingness, right? I hadn't read but maybe two comic books in college. I missed out on, you know, what I believe was the Trekkie convention and stuff, all that. I just never knew that, you know, I could go, right? I just blew right past it. So then here we come with a Comic-Con, and this was, let me frame this up the right way, okay? This was right after, is it right after? Let me get my mind right. Okay. This was right after Avengers. Okay, so we hadn't seen this done before ever, right? And let's label these Avenger characters really quick. So Iron Man is technology, okay? Iron Man is technology. Hulk and Captain America are science. That science, genetics, DNA, gamma radiation, super soldier serum. So technology, science, Hawkeye and Black Widow are all militant assassin special ops. So you have like that type of presence, you know, an elite trained soldier slash killer. So you have technology, then you have science, like metahumans, science. Then you have that super, I mean, they literally are a super soldier, that military, you know, type of martial arts, weaponry, this, that, and the third. And then Thor, okay, there's Nick Fury in there. But Thor is, that's basically magic. So we had never seen anything like this on screen in a comic book version, done this well, make so much money and create so much of a buzz, right? And this is why DC will always be late to the party, is because they try to do the exact same thing with characters that are more well known. We already know them. I already know Superman. I don't need to ever hear Superman's story ever again. Like, ever. What have we had? We've had Christopher Reeves, okay? Christopher Reeves, Dean Cain, Smallville, then Smallville slash Brandon Routh, then Henry Cavill come in and be Superman, and now we're about to have another. Like, in my lifetime, in our lifetime, I've seen maybe 7 Supermen. Y'all, I think Hugh Jackman has played a Wolverine in maybe 8 or 9 movies. Like maybe 10. So consistency goes a long way. It goes a long way, as we see with Marvel now. But this was the very beginning. All we had known is that Nick Fury was building a special team. So we get to see Captain America in a couple movies. We get to see Iron Man in a couple movies, along with Avengers. So seeing it built up like this and this hype, and now, you know, we're brand new right at this Comic-Con. This is all brand new. And everything that would be at eBombay and the final battle in Wakanda and, you know, the snap, I am Iron Man, that was years away, because this is 2013. So I'm seeing Galactus walk around, like guys in a Galactus costume. I see a guy walk around in a Nightwing costume, and it looked good. Like, it looked like the Arkham City version of that costume, like the black, you know, shoulders. Or I'm sorry, the blue shoulders, the all black costume. Some woman in nothing but like a G-string tried to walk in. They kicked her out because they were like, that's too much. That ain't no costume. Like, you're just trying to solicit people for your show later on at the strip club. So they had like that. And I saw some really good costumes. Like, people really took time to make these and really do this. So years later, I'm watching YouTube and seeing like these costumes and looking at how phenomenal these Comic-Cons and these people are working to make these costumes and, you know, have fun. I think that's the one thing, people have fun with it. But you can also win some money, from what I understand. You can win some money, get up and be in these costume contests, win some great money, along with just having fun with your friends. So I don't know any of these people. I need to meet some, though. I need to meet some of these people that are making these costumes. One of my good friends that was, she was a fitness pro and a model. She was Storm one year, looked exactly like her. I mean, gorgeous, right? Just gorgeous. So there's Jade Green, the WWE star. And then Alicia, I think her name is Alicia Williams. She's a fitness pro, fitness star. She's, you know, a mixed woman, maybe black and something, black and Puerto Rican, black and something. She's gorgeous. And she also is one of these like beautiful women that's a real life version of what Storm, She-Hulk, Ahsoka Tano, all of them would actually look like from the comic book if you just pasted them into real life. So yeah, that's dope stuff. It's just super awesome. So yeah, I had a great time. It was a great Halloween, and you know, I just look forward to seeing, you know, people's costumes in the future. But yeah, on a sad note, as I did mention, I'm gonna flip it with Matthew Perry. These celebrity deaths are something that, you know, for me now, I've come to understand as a reality. Now, I won't get into the symbolism, the decoding, and all of that people go into now with what does this mean, and you know, the moon and the ritual and the numbers and the data, and I won't get into all that because there's plenty of people to do that. You don't need me for that. I don't know what birth sign or horoscope or how old he really is, how many generations, and I don't know all that. Y'all can look that up on your own. I will say this, though. These celebrity deaths in these bathtubs or bodies of water are a little scary. Because now what I'm seeing is we're publicizing almost like a reverse baptism. We're publicizing and giving details that, you know, do have some type of symbolism, do have some type of a story. And it just kind of scares me because I don't want people in the regular world, regular life to copy these behaviors, right? I think some things are just better untold. If you say that someone simply passed away and was found, you know, unresponsive in their apartment, unresponsive in their home, that's one thing. Like, we don't need to know all the details. Death is death. Death is one of the biggest things that you'll ever encounter in life. You know, it's like, yeah, we live life, but our life ultimately all ends in death. It is one of the biggest things we'll ever encounter while living, understanding death, trying to understand death, the end. So I don't think we need all these details. I don't think we need all this stuff behind it. People are going to be hurt. People are going to be sad. And for a show that did so much, and I mean, for those of you that don't know, the writer and crew or the writer that had a huge success in Living Single did also come over to Friends. Now, it's not the same exact recipe, but those of you that know good writing, good shows, good production, like on Netflix, you'll see like there's certain Netflix shows that have the same actors and actresses. Yeah, they can do that. Great writers and great writing oftentimes does that. And they'll keep, if not the same cast, the same template of how they build a show. So yes, that is present. I love Living Single. And I've maybe watched maybe one or two episodes of Friends. So Living Single got to me first. I kind of checked that box. Living Single got to me first. But I do recognize that the comedic genius and what these actors and actresses did in their show, they had to perform each season. So I love Living Single, but I also recognize you do have to show up and work every day. Like it's not just we'll show up and score touchdowns. They actually did have to work and build an audience and build a presence and build a following, whether it was Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. They still had to go work. So imitation is the best flattery. but here we clearly have the work. This cast and crew did the work. And Matthew Perry would show up, I think, one of my, you know, good friends explained that when he showed up and he was skinny, that he was going through his drug problems. When he showed up and he was a little thicker, maybe had gained some weight, then he was, you know, actually drinking alcohol at that point. The man had his issues and struggles. We all do. Like, we all have our issues and struggles in life. That's what makes this so tough, is the money amplifies who you are. Problems amplify what you are. So at no time do you ever really get free of what's going on, because I assume when the rest of the world has turned off your movie or has turned off your film, you're still dealing with whatever problems are hurting and harming you. And instead of going to get help and sit down out of Hollywood, you've got a new script on your table. You're talking to your manager. You're talking to, you know, whomever is in your inner circle. Well, let's do Avengers, you know, let's do Avengers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then let's go do Star Wars. And then let's go do this movie. And let's go do that movie. Like, Samuel L. Jackson does not sit down. He's always working. And so these people that need a break, they break, y'all. And we need to pay attention to this better. So whether it's a celebrity or not, we need to understand that, yes, we are all working hard, but some people break things. And we need to ask better questions. We need to approach our friends and friendships a little bit better. We need to be better and more accountable with how we take care of ourselves. That, I believe, will help us be more accountable and take care of one another. Strong is not good. Strong is strong. My back is strong. My arms are strong. My legs are strong. But just saying strong does not always mean healthy. I could have a really strong chest and a really unhealthy knee, a really unhealthy Achilles, a really unhealthy shoulder or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just saying strong does not mean healthy. So that doesn't mean total health. So if one part of the body is working too hard, the others might be suffering. So we need balance. We need wholeness. And we just need to make sure that we hold ourselves accountable for what is healthy and doing the work internally, so that we don't force somebody else to be our refuge, be our savior, be our money, be our whatever it is. You know, we've got to do the work. And that's not me calling anybody out and saying that you're trash if you need help in these things. No, I'm just saying we've got to take the time to realize that our biceps have been doing way too much work, that our calves have been doing way too much work. They're too strong. They're too strong. And it's going to cause something else to break. So let's opt for balance. Let's listen to each other. I hate to say this, but heard this too many times. When people try to show you who they really are, believe them. Believe them. Somebody walks up right now and says they're Elvis. Okay, Elvis. And then break that down. Why do you think you're this? Why do you think you're that? Talk to them. Don't disagree with them. Keep pulling on that strand. Keep pulling on that rope until you yank, until you finally hit something. And when you hit something, now you know. Now you know. Now you know where all this is coming from. And when you find anger or lies or whatever, now you hit that wall. Okay, now how do we get to this wall where your back is against the wall? So that's all I'm saying, y'all. We can all do better. I'm not saying that Matthew Perry's death is on us, but I am saying that as friends and family, we can do a better job of recognizing where we are, where we've lied to ourselves, or where we've been too strong in the mirror. And then we can go out and, I feel like, help each other a little bit better. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But as I close up, this Israel and Palestine is bad. Talking to military, talking to Marines, talking to Navy. We have men that are brave that are going over there to fight. we have men and women that are brave and strong enough to go over and do the fighting that I choose not to do, that protect us and protect us in a way that I am not going to do. So I'm thankful that they can do it and can physically do it while I physically can't. So if they're doing something I mentally and physically choose not to do or cannot do, like, my hat's off to them. Yes, I'll pay for your meal. I will buy you food. I will love on you and give you things that maybe you can, you know, I will love and give you things that, while they maybe can't give you whole people back or whole years back, maybe to give you a small moment of solace, a small moment of peace. But from what I'm seeing, and this is hard, I saw the comment between some of my friends that Israel is doing the exact same thing that Russia was doing to the Ukraine, and that the people of Ukraine were allowed to leave. The people in Gaza are not. And I've seen people like Ben Shapiro argue points about, you know, this, that, and the third. And what's hard is, you know, not one day in my life have I ever looked at the Jewish community and thought that the Jewish community was evil, wrong, or the devil. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like you go do a DNA test, and I see that, like, I have some Jewish heritage. I'm like, whoa, the culture. So it's conflicting to be also Black, also connected to Judaism, and watch this all play out. Death is death. Murder is murder. I think the death toll, it was 7,000. Now it's like up to 10. And when you're using... when you're bombing people and using these chemicals and this, that, and the third, it's like, it's hard to really protect that, y'all. And for the Christians out there, you know where we're at. This is Old Testament. You're not talking to a New Testament people that believe in Christ and follow him. You're talking to Old Testament. So Old Testament is blessings. Old Testament is beauty. Old Testament is sacrifice. Old Testament is wipe the whole village out. Everything. And don't carry any remnants or anything with you. You leave all that where it stands and burn it. Old Testament is Sodom and Gomorrah, where that angel is looking through the whole city, the whole town, for any reason to save or help or continue what's there. And he finds nothing. So he says, leave and don't look back or you turn into a pillow of salt, right? Which is real salty. So this is Old Testament, y'all. And that's the hard part. If you're talking Jewish and Muslim, you're talking Old Testament, the five books of Moses. So that's what's really hard about this. One thing I've seen consistently that is both amazing and wild is that in the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism and the Muslim Islam culture just do it better. Like, I hate to say it that way, just do it better. When it terms the traditions, the consistency, and being organized as a people, I have seen in Judaism and the Islam Muslim world, it's just done better. I'm sorry, you all. Now, on the radical side, yeah, everybody's got their, you know, problems, right? There's their problems. There's what we're seeing right now. There's Hamas. There's Al-Qaeda. There's Bin Laden. There's like, yeah, there's always like these figures that pop up out of nowhere and bad apple the whole bunch, right? There's always that. But what I'm saying is, like, you compare the three Abrahamic religions and you look at like Christianity as a whole and what Christianity is in America, for me is really hard because there's so much racism in our Christianity. There's so much division in our Christianity. There's so many different cultures in our Christianity. And then there's so many opposing views within those same denominations and also same churches in our Christianity. There's just so much division because I think the number one thing that should have been worked better was knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you, Torah Knights. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. There's just too much division. When you're working in Excel and you look at cell A1, right? Cell A1 is very easy to identify. That's, I don't know, Adam and Eve, for the lack of a better, you know, metaphor. Once you get to cell XXXXXXXXXXX3927, we've gone way too far, y'all. Way too far. It's so many numbers and so much division and so many cells deep into the recipe that it gets so far to get back to where it all started and the real roots of what made you what you are. And so, no, I'm not saying that we need to repeat everything that's happened the last 100 or 500 years. Not at all. I think that's actually the problem. A lot of the things we've seen over the last 100 years and 500 years in our country is the problem. I'm saying Christianity wise, we have divisions and divides happening in churches right now that is the exact reason why I have to kind of step back and just look and say, I don't want any part of that. The way I was raised and the Bible that we read warns you about this behavior. So to be warned about it, read it, and then participate in the foolishness, I can't do that. I'm sorry, this is not right. Everything in me, after prayer and just reading and then reading the book of Jeremiah again and again, I'm like, y'all, this ain't right. What you're blending, the two worlds that you're trying to blend, should never be blended. I can't believe in this. Call me radical, call me whatever. But I'm like, the two worlds that people are trying to blend together right now, I don't want any part of it. So, all right, that's my time. I really, really, really just want to express how sorry I am for everyone. The love that I have in my heart, and just, I can't bring back any of these lives, any of these women and children in Gaza. I can't. I really can't. We should be so far beyond needing weaponry at this point right now. But real talk, I mean, there's people getting beat up and abused right now physically in their bodies that could have used some self-defense. They shouldn't need that right now, but they do. And so I really just can't express how sorry I am that either side has experienced the atrocities that they've experienced. So, all right, y'all. I love y'all. Hope you love me back. I will, see you soon.